Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we are celebrating the Day of Pentecost. Now, the Day of Pentecost, we think about it prominently in the New Testament. However, though, let's understand the Day of Pentecost was something that goes back to the Old Testament. I want to tell you a little bit more about that Old Testament celebration. So keep in mind, if we go back to Leviticus chapter 23, God laid out seven different feasts that he wanted the people to celebrate each year. With three of the seven, that is where all of the men were required to gather in Jerusalem. Pentecost was one of those big three, if you will. When they gathered, they were required to do some specific things. For example, they were required to do a wave offering of wheat bread to the Lord, and they were required to offer seven male lambs without blemish. So what was going on there with that Old Testament Pentecost festival? Let's think about it like this. First of all, they were being called to remember that the Lord had rescued them from their slavery in Egypt, and he had given them the Ten Commandments, and they were his covenant people. Isn't that good for us to do as well? Remember who we are. Remember who God has made us to be in Christ. We are his holy children. Important to remember. Also, too, they were called to be thankful. So they were to take this wheat bread and wave it to the Lord, so acknowledging that, oh, we have the bread, God has given it to us. And it's almost like saying, thank you, Lord, thank you for the bread. Shouldn't we do that with all of our blessings? When we think about being Americans, we are probably some of the most blessed people in the world, but I kind of doubt that we're the most thankful people in the world. We might be the biggest complainers in the world. Isn't that a pathetic thing? So blessed, and yet so much complaining. Oh my goodness, that is not good at all. Let us look at what God has done. Let us realize what he continues to do. Let us be thankful. That's what he wanted them to do a long time ago, every time they were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. Also, too, they were called to look ahead. So when they offered the sacrifices, that was looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah who would take away the sin of the world. And it was also looking ahead to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life. Probably with any kind of a holiday, for example, we think about tomorrow being Memorial Day. What should we do? We should look back and be thankful for the ones who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. We should call upon God today, asking him to end the wars in our world and to stop people dying in such ways, and then to look forward to know that one day we're going to be with God forever, and truly there will be peace forever and ever among all who are gathered with God. Going further here, I want to talk about forgiveness through Jesus. We're in John chapter 7. In verse 37, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying." Now, wouldn't you think that this is something he probably said on the feast day of Pentecost? Well, that would make sense. Here we are on the day of Pentecost. We have the assigned reading. It's talking about a feast. You would think, oh, this is talking about the feast of Pentecost, but it's not, though. So it's talking about the feast of booths, the feast of tabernacles. Pentecost is feast number 4. This is feast number 7. So Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of what happened there at that particular time with that particular feast, but there was water involved, and it was kind of a natural thing for Jesus to say, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me." But we're going to focus here more on the topic of forgiveness. So first of all, though, being thirsty, when we think about that topic, we're talking about being thirsty for forgiveness. We live in a world today where, let's be honest, some people are really concerned about their sins, and they so much want to have forgiveness. They are thirsty for forgiveness. Other people, they don't think much about it, and they just continue to go on with life. But Jesus is saying, hey, if you're thirsty, if you want to be forgiven, come to me. And then, why is it that Jesus is inviting people to him? Well, we understand he came down from God. He is the Son of God. He did everything to take away the sin of the world with his perfect living and sacrificial dying. He is the only source of forgiveness for everyone. So he is the one to come to in order to get that forgiveness. And then, thinking about locations of forgiveness. If we think about the Bible, it does talk a lot about forgiveness, but if we take what's in the Bible and boil it down into these different locations where God is giving forgiveness, these are the ones I come up with. So in holy baptism, God does impart the gift of forgiveness. He also does so working right through the Bible. So as people are in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is at work. He's opening their eyes to the truth. He's convicting them of their sins. He's imparting faith in Jesus. And when they have the sorrow and the faith, then they have the forgiveness. Also, too, in absolution. So at the beginning of the service, we are remembering that we are sinners, so we confess our sins, and then I have the privilege to announce not my forgiveness, but to announce God's forgiveness. So it's a general thing. It's going out to everyone, and those who are repentant, they are the ones who are receiving. God wants everyone to receive. He's extending forgiveness to the entire world, but only those who are repentant actually have it. And then finally, we think about the Lord's Supper. So Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Right there in Matthew chapter 26. So when we think about the supper, we are forgiven even before we come. We are coming as repentant believers in Jesus, so we already have God's forgiveness, but as we receive his very body and his very blood, we are given assurance on a very individual basis that we have God's forgiveness in Christ. So with absolution, very general, with the Lord's Supper, very individual, very specific. I put it this way to summarize those four things. Those are, we could say, the ways, the means, maybe even to say the conduits through which the Holy Spirit gives God's gift of forgiveness to repentant sinners. And then looking ahead to the New Testament Pentecost, so going further in our text here in John chapter 7, Jesus said, he who believes in me, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I'm going to go into that more in a moment, but right after that, the Bible says, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Now he's looking ahead here to the day of Pentecost, were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So if you think about the feast that Jesus is at right now here in John chapter 7, that is a feast that takes place in the fall. Pentecost is a feast that takes place in the spring. So it's looking ahead a period of time in order to come to that particular feast, the feast of Pentecost, after Jesus has died on the cross and been raised from the dead. At that time, that is when this will happen. That is when the Holy Spirit will be poured out. And then we might ask what happened after Jesus' resurrection, just to summarize here real briefly. So before the 50th day, well, of course, Jesus was raised to life, and then he showed himself to be alive for that period of 40 days. Then he was taken up into heaven. Then Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. And then Jesus' disciples, they waited in Jerusalem. Jesus told them, hey guys, don't go back to Galilee. Wait here. Something very important is going to happen. So that was prior to the day of Pentecost. And then on the day itself, we know that Jesus himself, he received the Holy Spirit from God the Father, and then he poured it out on the day of Pentecost. And what happened? We know that the apostles, they received the Holy Spirit in a way that enabled them to be able to speak in languages that they had never studied. Here they are Galileans, and yet if you think about the map that I showed you, you have people coming from all these different locations. So think about it like this. If we look at all those different locations, they're speaking local languages where they are from. Now, when they came together, they were probably able to somewhat communicate, but the languages that were being spoken in Jerusalem were not as familiar to them as the ones from where they lived. So my understanding here is that the Holy Spirit gave these Galileans the ability to be able to speak in the languages that these people were used to back at home. These are the languages that they knew the best. So the apostles are telling the people about the mighty deeds of God and also doing it in the languages that they could understand the very best. Now, sometimes people will look at it and say, was it that they were speaking different or was it that the people were hearing different? In other words, where did the language get changed? It would seem it was in the speaking, but it's a little bit difficult to tell. But somehow, though, we know that God was working it out by the power of the Holy Spirit so people could hear things in the very best way. If you speak multiple languages, as I know some people do here at Bethlehem, you probably have one language that's better than another language, and that's what God worked out on that day. And then coming to the final part here, I'm saying the Holy Spirit makes a big difference. So first of all, if we go back to the apostles, let's understand that they were given power. So Jesus said to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then they could have said, well, what are we supposed to do with that power? Well, Jesus told them, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. If we think about the apostles prior to Pentecost, they seem to be fearful, they seem to be hiding, but on the day of Pentecost and going forward, they were much different. They were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with courage. They went out among the people, and they were bearing witness about who Jesus is, about what he did, about how he was risen from the dead, about how he is coming again, and they were calling the people to repent and believe. So the activity of what the apostles were doing prior to Pentecost and then after Pentecost, there was a huge difference. And what made the difference? The Holy Spirit. What else can we say about the Holy Spirit? Well, all believers were enabled to prophesy. So we pick this up from this prophecy that we have in Joel that I read earlier. So part of it says, I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. What does that mean? What does that mean to prophesy? Well, to prophesy simply means to proclaim what God wants made known. What is it that God wants made known? God wants everyone to know who Jesus is, what he has done, and how to get the benefits of what he has done. That's what God wants made known. So think about it like this. The apostles, they did that work throughout the entire world. But what about for you and me? The Holy Spirit is leading us to do those same things among those who are close to us, among those within our families, those who are in our circle of friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and so on. God is saying to shine the light of Christ to them, to share the truth with them. And we might say, well, I can't do that. But we should never think about I, we should think about the Holy Spirit. He is the key person. Again, think about the apostles before the day of Pentecost, hiding and fearful, on the day of Pentecost going forward, filled with courage and out among the people and telling the truth. The Holy Spirit made the difference. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that when each of us were baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. So God has given us the Spirit, and by the Spirit, we are able to understand the Bible, and by the Spirit, we have compassion toward others, and by the Spirit, we can speak the very words of God to others for their benefit. God wants us to see how that all fits together, and then he wants us to do it. So all believers then became a source of living water. I want to go back to the key verse here again. Jesus said, "He who believes in me." Now, he didn't say some people who believe in me. He said, "He who believes in me, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So it's saying something very important about every single believer in Jesus. So first of all, let's get at it here. What is living water? I think we can talk about the love of God, God's gift of forgiveness, God's gift of eternal life. These are things that were put into us when we were converted. They were put into us when we were baptized into Christ. If we are still connected to Christ, then those things are still in us. So when we think about the man and the hose and the whole illustration I have there, the idea is if you look at the water spigot, these things have come into us just like the water has come into the hose. God wants us to realize these great blessings are within us. And then going further, how does living water flow through us? I want to read a quote here from Lenski. He wrote, "He who comes to Jesus not only finds his own soul satisfied, but also becomes a medium for conveying the same spiritual satisfaction to others." So when he says a medium, the medium is kind of like the water hose. So the water hose is taking water from one point to another point. So the idea here is that these wonderful things of God, his love, his forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, those are to pass through us. Now, if you have a drain at home that's not working, do you enjoy that? It's all stopped up, and is that a good thing? No. Is it a good thing if, like, the blessings of God get all stopped up inside of us? By no means. We want them to flow right through us. So at the end here, I'm saying that we are difference makers. That's what God wants us to be. So as water flows from a hose, so it goes into one end of the hose and out the other end. As that happens, may the good news of God's salvation keep flowing from us to others. It's a very simple thing, but God wants us to be open to it. God wants us to understand, oh, dear Lord, you have given me such great things. He doesn't want us to keep them to ourselves. He wants us to be open to his plan, that they would continue to flow through us to others. May God open up our minds to be able to see how he wants to work that out in each of our individual lives. Let us know that all things are possible because it's not us, it's actually God who is at work within us. God can do anything. We can't, but God can. So let us be trusting in him. Let us be confident in him. Let us be excited about what God wants to do through us to others. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us life in Jesus and equipping us to be dispensers of living water. Now, we pray that you would work in us in a powerful way to grant us love for others, give us the words to say to others, make others receptive to hear what we are trying to say, and may you also move them to repent and believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.